Hello and welcome to the Language of God. My name is Stephan Dela Cruz and I am the Friend of God. In this series, The Language of God, Understanding God's Culture, I will be teaching what the language of God looks like in Scripture and how you can learn to recognize the language of God being spoken right there in your Bible. With time and understanding, you will be able to speak the language of God. First, the language of God is not a spoken language like ours is. God does not use words or sounds as we do. The language of God are images, thoughts, feelings, emotions, and sensations. Not only that, but they go beyond what humans understand. When God speaks, God's words create. If there is death there, God speaks life. God's words create life. When God speaks to us, not only are these things created in us, but also the actual life, the actual experiences are created in us as though we lived it in that moment. Years of experiences can pass to us as God speaks to us, and those experiences are the actual words being created in us, bringing forth life, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, experience, all of it combined. God's language is intense. It's beyond our human experiences. Second, the language of God does not have written words or letters as we do. Our words and letters are descriptive, and that's all that they can do is describe, give you an idea of what it might feel like, what it might look like, or even what it might taste like. Our words and letters are very limited. And third, to speak God's language, you must have the Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit must reside in you so that you can begin to learn to understand the language of God. To begin to learn God's language, you must learn a way you have not been shown. God is not a human that God thinks like us. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Adonai." Verse 9, "As high as the skies above the earth are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." To speak God's language, we will begin by understanding the relationships God has used throughout the Scriptures to communicate with us. In this series, I will explain those relationships and how they will give you insight into God's culture, the way God thinks. As you understand your place in each relationship, you will begin to grasp God's language and how to communicate with God in His language, no longer in your language. Remember, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. As high as the sky is above the earth, are my ways higher than yours." Just a brief pause here. The language of God is not speaking in tongues. And I want to make that clear right at the beginning. Tongues, which is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. I want to make that clear. The language of God is the very language God spoke in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to bring into existence all creation. I will be expounding on four relationships that exist in Scripture. It is through these four relationships that I will reveal God's language, what that language looks like, what it sounds like, and how you can speak that language. These four relationships are as follow: the king-servant relationship, also known as the master-slave relationship; the second relationship, the father-child relationship; where we are known as the children of God. The third relationship, the friend of God relationship. And the fourth relationship, the bridegroom, the bride of Christ relationship. All four of these relationships are a covenant. Put another way, they are a contract with rules and laws. When humans fell into sin at the Garden of Eden, these relationships, these covenants were created to help us mature and protect us from our enemies. As you learn the intricacies of each relationship, you will gain knowledge on how to use the laws and the rules that give you power and authority in each relationship. You will understand the purpose of that relationship you are in right now. These four relationships are the foundation for us to understand the language that God speaks to us. They are the beginning. As you understand how to live and walk in each relationship, you will have a greater understanding of God's language. Simply by understanding God's culture and why God does what he does and says what he says, you will see how God uses these four relationships to draw us closer to him. Each relationship has its own unique requirements to help us mature and draw closer to God. Each relationship also has its own unique requirements to protect us from our enemies. Each relationship prepares us to draw closer to God. Each relationship provides us with a deeper understanding of God's language and culture in that specific relationship. As we advance through the four relationships, we mature to a level that we begin to understand God's language. Then it begins to happen. We begin to speak the language of God. We begin to understand the language of God. Now, unfortunately, many Christians tend to stay in the first two relationships and never move to the next. They become comfortable in the relationships of the servant of God or the child of God. They never progress to know God in the next relationship, never maturing beyond the relationships they are in right now. They remain a servant of God, or they remain a child of God. And they hold to those relationships that they are a great servant of God or they are a great child of God. Now, some have moved on to the last two relationships and they call themselves a friend of God or they call themselves the bride of Christ. But they really don't understand those relationships. They use modern day concepts of a friend and they use the modern day concepts of a bride. Just as they use modern-day concepts of what it is to be a servant or a child of God. But remember, God said, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And that's where I want to take you, to that place in God's culture of what God means when he calls you his friend, what God means when he calls you his servant, and why these four relationships have been created by God to reach us, to save us, to draw us closer to him. Always remember that God is thinking on a higher level than us. So either we can speak our language to God and bring God down to our language, or we can let our language go and move up towards God and learn God's language. In the last two relationships, the friend of God and the bride of Christ, most people that are in these relationships only see what they get out of those relationships. You can see this because they only speak their language to God, never learning how to speak to God in his language. Imagine having a friend that every time you two spoke, they did all the speaking and only wanted to talk about themselves. And when you shared your thoughts with them, they didn't understand you, or couldn't comprehend why you would speak so strange, so weird. Now imagine that same scenario in a marriage. The bride is not able to communicate with her husband or speak the husband's language. Every time the husband speaks, the bride finds it strange, weird, that he has such thoughts. And that's what I want you to begin to see and understand. We're speaking to God in our language instead of speaking to God in His language. There is much more waiting for those who will prepare themselves to understand the language of God. I want to give you a glimpse of God's way of thinking, of understanding the language of God. And by doing that, let's take a look of how God speaks to us, to you, in dreams. Now, understanding that when God speaks to you in dreams or visions, He speaks to you in your language. So right now, you are not speaking God's language. God is speaking to you in your language so that you are able to understand Him. If you are a farmer, your dreams will look like the life you live and the work you do. So God would speak to you using what you are familiar with. A farmer plants fields, raises livestock, and so much more. Let's say this farmer shares with you their dream. They see their cows in a field walking around and the stars and moon illuminating the night sky above them. What would you think of such a dream? If you're not a farmer, at first, not much, because the language is in the farmer's culture. You see, in the dream, it's night, and the cows should be back in the barn, not out in the field. So something is very wrong. Now, for a farmer, they would have picked up on that easily. But for someone who doesn't know the culture or the language of a farmer, they may not have understood this dream at all. To them, it would have been strange. So when God speaks to you, it's in your language, not God's language. Because you don't know God's language and you don't know God's culture. So whatever He would say or show you, it would be a complete mystery to you. Now God speaks to you in your language and your culture. So you can understand what God is attempting to convey to you. It may be a warning, it may be a blessing, it may be just sharing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But it will always be in your language until you learn to speak God's language. Here's another example, another glimpse. Have you ever noticed how some pastors, preachers speak to God in a very casual way? Like a son to their father, or a daughter to her father, or maybe like to a close friend. They joke around and they laugh, and we have all seen this. But what you may not understand, and what they may not understand, is that they are not speaking God's language. God is speaking to them in their language. That is why it comes so easily to them, and why they are so casual with their conversation with God. Because as much as they may believe they are speaking in God's language, they are not. God is speaking to them in their language so that they are comfortable, so that they'll receive God's blessings, God's warnings, God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So God speaks to them in their language, and that's why it flows so easily for them. So when you see these pastors, these preachers or these ministers, and you hear how they're so casually talking with God and saying, oh yes, and this is what the Lord said to me, and this is what God says. And they'll use very casual human terminology that's familiar to them. Remember this, when they're doing that, that's that person's culture. That's not God's culture, that's their culture. And so God is speaking to them in their language, in their culture, so that they can receive the wisdom and knowledge that God is sharing with them, that God is imparting to them. So whatever you do for a living or who you are, God will speak to you in the language you understand. If you want to see more proof of this, you can go to Genesis chapter 40. Read the whole chapter and you will see how God speaks to these two people in a dream. Pay attention to how God speaks to each one of them in their own language. Now let's turn it around for a moment. What if you did speak God's language instead of yours. That when you spoke with God, you spoke the language that God used to create the stars and name them. The language that God used to create the universe. God's language is creative wherever it is sent. Imagine you speak the language of God. What a conversation that would be. That when you speak, you create. That every word that flows from you creates. No matter where you speak, no matter to whom you speak, or no matter where you are at, your words that come forth from you create. But at this moment, you don't speak God's language or understand His culture, at least not yet. And that is where I want to take you, to the place where you will begin to speak the language of God and live in His culture. And I want you to know something. It's going to be difficult because how you've been taught and how I've been taught is in a human thinking way. Remember what God said, "My ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours." How much higher? "As high as the skies above the earth are my ways, and as high as the skies above the earth are my thoughts than yours." So there's a very wide chasm between our understanding of these four relationships that I'm going to share with you and why God put them in there. And you're going to be challenged because when I begin to teach the servant of God, it is going to challenge you. When I begin to teach the child of God, it's going to challenge you. But remember this, I'm teaching from the language of God and from God's culture, not from our culture, not from 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago or however far back you want to go. I'm going to share with you the purpose of these four relationships and how God created them for us so that we could be drawn closer to God. I hope you will enjoy this teaching. Remember, it's not about how quickly you can go through each podcast or each teaching, but what you gain from that podcast, what you gain from that teaching. Listen to each podcast more than a few times so that you can gain as much as possible to apply it to your everyday life. And if you are blessed by these teachings as you go through them, let others know so that they can come and learn. And let them know God is in control. If you have any questions or comments while you're going through these teachings, direct them to the email provided on this website. When contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Smile again, laugh again, believe again. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up, dust yourself off. Together, we will finish this race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life that flows from the throne of God. I say, come and drink. Now go and enjoy your life. I encourage you to live. Have a great day and remember, you are not alone.